If you wanted to have a public opinion on any matter of import prior to the internet age, where would you have to, how could you express it? Letter to the editor. You could become a journalist, go to school, learn how to write, and try and get published in a major publication. You know, this is what we would call, and I had a great conversation with this with my friend KVT, as you see him in the chat room a couple weeks ago. KVT and I talked about this. I said, KV, why shouldn't there be a barrier to entry? Not everyone is a journalist. Not everyone is a columnist. Not everyone is an author. And prior to the internet age, there were barriers to entry, right? Well, as the barriers came down, well, then so the bar got lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower now. Now you have people masquerading as whatever. I'm a media contributor. I contribute for this and I contribute for that. And throw F-bombs in with it too. Gosh, do you get paid extra for the four-letter words? I'm just asking. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel on a Free Phone Friday. I would love to hear your viewpoint on this, or you could just let me hang out here and get beaten up by the free speech winds. I'm a big boy. I could take it. And I'll do all the sermonizing and philosophizing here. But if you'd like to talk, 844-5-CRUSADE, or go to the chat room, crusadechannel.com/chat. So we're going to continue on here. Exploring the subject. Wall Street Journal, Section 230 was written to empower moderation, to keep the web from becoming a cesspool. Every minute, 500 hours of video are added to YouTube. Every day, Twitter gets something like 500 million tweets and Pride Book, 1 billion posts. In the world's worst game of whack-a-mole, their systems clobber untold quantities of jihadist propaganda, revenge porn, snuff videos, attempts to dox enemies, and so on and so on. Again, is it the medium that does this, or is it the people, the fallen people? As Mrs. Maggie O'Connell says, I used to be a people person, but people cured me of that. Is it the people that are abusing the medium? Well, it's obviously the people that are abusing the medium. What do you do? But you offered it to him. And you see, this is where, again, we go, we're back at pornography and obscenity in 1964. Obedience to the unenforceable. What's that? Well, me not being obscene among some of you guys is something that I do. No one can enforce it on me by a threat of violence or subjugation. Now, you could enforce it by saying, well, I just won't subscribe because you're foul. Okay, well, then that's a market choice, but that hasn't been forced on me. So we do it for a variety of reasons, but I am obedient to the unenforceable. What's the unenforceable? Don't lead anyone else into sin, right? Don't commit any of your own, which may make someone else say, well, he did it. Must be okay. Adjacent to this flagrant conduct is an expansive area covered by community standards, writes the Wall Street Journal. A brouhaha last year involved a political commentator on YouTube with 4 million followers. A homosexual journalist complained that the pundit was mocking him as a lispy sprite and angry little queen. Sometimes while wearing a T-shirt depicting a limp-wristed Che Guevara and a slogan, socialism is for pigs. YouTube did not axe the videos but said it would suspend monetization, cutting off the pundit's ad revenue. Now, is Barrett in the chat room? Barrett, who is he? This is, it's not, oh gosh, what's the guy's name? I know the guy's name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I don't follow him, but I know exactly who he's talking about. So, because I remember Barrett covering the story last year right here. It was Crowder. I thought it was Crowder. So they demonetized Crowder on Youboo. And so you had to buy the $100 coffee mug if you wanted to watch the YouTube video. Now, who was the dude that Crowder was mocking? He was the dude that wrote for Vox, wasn't he, Barrett? Pretty sure it was a Vox. Some guy was, or maybe he wrote for The Atlantic. The dude was a total queen. Carlos Maza, that's right. Carlos Maza, that's right. Ew, and Steven Crowder is being so mean to me. He's making fun of me like I walk around with my limp wristed. Okay, well, I do that. But he's making fun of me like I have a lisp. Okay, I have a lisp. But he's making fun of me that I have skinny jeans. Okay, and skinny jeans. And he's making fun of me that I wear makeup and I... Okay, I wear makeup. All right. But it's my choice to wear makeup and skinny jeans to walk around with a little limp wrist and to talk like this. By the by, there are actual people that have speech impediments that have lisps. Like, Mr. Chair, please, you're talking about the hair lip guy. The hair lip guy is actually a caricature of mine of a guy that called me when I was working in Charlotte at 1110 WBT and read me the riot act. I don't remember what it was for, but ever since, the hair lip guy's always been, always been my alter ego protagonist. But men that run around with the skinny jeans, the limp wrist, perfume, and act as, I'm going to say this in context, not trying to be offensive or vulgar, fag hags, they make that lisp up. That is a personal choice speech colloquialism, if you will. And they do it for a specific purpose. Well, what do you think the purpose is, big boy? Well, you know what the purpose is, and I know what the purpose is. So let's stop jumping around the RuPaul in the room, okay? And let's just, like, deal with it. You want to be a woman. You want to be a woman? So they didn't pull Crowder's videos down, but they told him you can't make any money off of it. Now, again, where is the line drawn here between public utility and editorial provider? Here's the other bitch about this that I just, you know, it rubs me raw every time I talk about this with someone. So I can't, like, remove myself from it and say that I don't have an opinion. Yes, I do. On this editorial content and them making the decision. If you're a YouBoober, then you're providing the product for YouTube. They don't produce anything. You produce it. I produce it. What a great racket, right? And then they take it and say, hey, you could watch Mike Church on our little platform here. But you couldn't. Isn't that amazing? You could see him from anywhere around the world. You could watch Steven Crowder, Little Ben Shapiro, or anyone else on our little platform here. I mean, what a racket this is. Someone should have sued for slavery for a violation of the 13th Amendment, if nothing else, of all of these providers. And I say this because, and it's been a subject of several vainglorious lawsuits. Pride Book actually had to answer in a lawsuit, and because they are acting as an editor, and Pride Book came back and said, "We are a news gathering entity." In other words, they don't make anything. They don't make any news. They don't make any entertainment. All they do is allow others to use their platform to transmit. Like I talked about this last week when I do my, by the by, tomorrow's Cooking with the King Dude cocktail is everything you ever wanted to know about the martini, but was afraid to ask. And that'll be around 2 p.m. Central tomorrow on Pride Book. You want to do it today?
Can we do it today and tomorrow?
Hey, man. Well, I kind of had to get martini glasses, which I was told earlier today that that wasn't going to happen. So if someone wants to... by the by, I've got my own PayPal donation link now so I can put it in my cooking videos and instructional videos. So can I not make anything off of that? But if you wanted to donate, I can actually put the link in there. Just thought I'd pass it on. but you're acting as a content provider. I mean, at the end of the day, it's what David Simpson calls slave new world. Back to the Wall Street Journal, though, on the question of whether or not the president's executive order last night is a good idea or a bad idea, constitutional or unconstitutional, or was this just him being an egomaniac and saying, you're not going to tell me that my tweets need to be fact-checked. Now, I understand Trump's point, and I don't think he's wrong. I think he could have said it a different way, but I don't think he's wrong. For these entities, again, that describe themselves as content relayers, they're not providers, they're relayers, and as quasi-public utilities, who put them in charge of checking? You know, this would be like Bell Cell, again, just using the telephone. And somebody's going to go, Minute Church, play, that's not the same thing. Yes, it is.